Our gospel lesson today comes from the 5th chapter of Luke, verses 17 through 26. Let us listen now to the word of God. One day, while Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men came, carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. They let the tiles, and they removed the tiles in the middle of the roof, and they lowered the man down in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home." Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Spirit of God, fall upon this place and be present here. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your word moving through our scripture and into our ears. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the words that are heard be glorious in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'd like to begin this morning with a bit of a confession. In the church I grew up in, we didn't have a welcome to worship class. Rather, my family and I were enrolled in what we call the Welcome to Worship 15 Minutes Late class. And I do believe we have some fellow alumnus of that course here in the congregation. But what this meant is that you could often find me and my family sneaking up one of the side aisles to get to our pews around the time that the prayer of confession was ending, just in time to hear the pastor say, "Hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God." She would then take a pitcher of water and pour it into this big glass bowl that was next to the communion table. And it would just tickle me to death to watch as sometimes the water would pour out over the sides of the bowl and onto the carpet. And it humors me now, knowing how seriously we Presbyterians take the carpets in our sanctuaries. "God's love overflows for us," she would say. And for me, that was the sound of forgiveness, the babbling of water as it splashed in the font. In the gospel lesson today, we come across Jesus in the midst of his ministry. And earlier on in the 5th chapter of Luke, Jesus has called his first disciples, Simon Peter and James and John, saying, "Do not be afraid." And what follows is a series of controversies as the divine nature of Jesus' person begins to reveal itself and to upend the established understandings of power and order. Our scripture today brings us into one such controversy as Jesus forgives the sins of a paralyzed man who has been brought to him and then heals him of his paralysis. The controversy at the center of this story is the question of forgiveness, namely, who has the authority and the ability to forgive sins? And what's peculiar and has drawn the attention of many biblical scholars is the possibility that this story is in fact a mashup, a blending of two stories. The first is a story of healing, which, if you remove the middle verses of the scripture we read, reads like many of the healing stories we find in the gospel. A person suffering from an illness is brought to Jesus. Jesus heals them and sends them on their way. The second story is the heart of the controversy itself, where Jesus forgives the sins of the paralyzed man. For the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, a man claiming to forgive sins is blasphemy. The power to forgive sin is God and God's alone. And they were right, of course, according to the law that they lived by. However, they didn't benefit from our triune understanding of the persons of God as Creator, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and thus the irony of this moment is lost on them. If the person of God has the authority to forgive sins, then so too does Jesus. But I like to assume that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were trying their best. And so Jesus makes it abundantly clear through another of his healing miracles. Though this mashup has many implications, one of them is that forgiveness and healing are connected in a meaningful way here. So that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, stand up, take your bed, and go home. The connection between the invisible and visible miracles Jesus performs here, forgiveness on one hand and healing on the other, is indicative of the worldview at this time. Sickness in the physical body was representative of sickness in the soul. And so the forgiveness of sins was itself a healing act, as spiritual healing made way for physical healing. So when Jesus looked to show that which was invisible, he provided the visible act of physical healing, ending the man's paralysis and commanding him to get up and go home. And in our current day and age, with our knowledge of biological science and disease, there's no way we can fully assume the worldview of this time and place in the gospel. If we could, I would have forgone getting a flu shot at Welcome Table a couple of weeks ago. I have a very real fear of needles and need less than a convincing argument to tell me that I don't want to experience one again. And so instead, I would have just opted to be a good person in order to prevent the flu. We would find ourselves being ignorant and unkind to those who live with a diagnosis if we suggested that their genetic condition or cancer or cold was indicative of their spiritual health. Yet the connection between the spiritual and the physical is not completely lost on us. Are not our hearts and souls lifted when we are offered forgiveness and when we are given the strength offer that forgiveness to others? I'm sure we have all experienced the feeling of forgiveness to varying degrees in our lives. I can remember one time coming home from college and running into a friend from high school. He had brought his roommate home with him for a few days, and when I ran into them, I called my friend by his last name, which had been his nickname and our custom through high school. When his friend went to the restroom, my friend turned to me and asked if I wouldn't call him that name anymore. He explained to me that he actually hated being called that nickname in high school, that when he was a freshman, his parents were going through a messy divorce, and then his dad moved away and got remarried, and since hadn't really made an effort to contact his son at all. My friend said that he could see how much it hurt his mother when his friends would come over to their house and only refer to him as his father's surname. I quickly realized in that moment that even though I wasn't aware of it, that I had caused hurt in the life of this young man over the course of our high school careers together. And even though I had never really considered it, I didn't ask him wanted to be called that name or not. And so I hurriedly apologized, recognizing the hurt I had caused, and I asked for his forgiveness, and I promised to only call him by his first name from then on. He graciously said, "Loudon, it's no big deal. Really, it's not a big thing." And he forgave me. And I was surprised by how much relief I felt when he did, especially since I had no idea that this had been something that I needed to be forgiven for. There's something about forgiveness that is felt in our bodies when it is offered. So what is forgiveness? Is it a feeling? Is it spiritual healing? I think the text might suggest another answer for us this morning. Forgiveness is a starting point. It, in fact, is the starting point of our faith. If we are to claim Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we must first believe that Jesus is capable of forgiving our sins and liberating us from ourselves. Hear this good news, friends. The story is driven by the faith of those who believe just this. The friends of this paralyzed man put him on a bed, carried him to the house where Jesus is teaching. The text establishes the distance that people were willing to travel to gather and listen to Jesus from every village in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Miles and miles and miles and miles they traveled. And we can assume the same is true of these friends and the paralyzed man that they carried. And after they arrive, after they have journeyed all of this way, they find that there is no room to be found in the house to bring their friend to Jesus. So they take their friend, they climb with this man on a bed onto the roof. They remove a portion of the roof, which for any of you who have ever worked in a mission trip taking roofing tiles off of a roof is not an easy task. And then they had to lower their friend down, remembering that he is paralyzed, so if they tip him off, he will not catch himself. There's danger in this moment for the friend, but they lower him down before Jesus. And if any of you have ever belayed a friend who is climbing or on a high ropes course, you know how perilous this pulley system can be. So I don't think there can be any doubt that these friends who lived in a world where spiritual health and bodily health were one and the same, who recognized their friend's sickness as a spiritual illness, I don't think there can be any doubt that they believed from the moment they put their friend on that bed to the moment they got to the house and placed him before Jesus that Jesus could forgive sins and heal their friend. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Forgiveness is a starting point. It is an invitation into relationship with Jesus, which is offered to us by God's grace and Christ's love. Forgiveness is the moment where Jesus sees a future with us in deep and meaningful relationship. The divine recognition that such a future is possible. And Jesus has no obligation in this moment to heal or forgive this paralyzed man. And the efforts of his friends, though courageous, do not change that fact. Yet Jesus forgives and heals because Jesus wants to forgive and heal. Like Jesus says when he cures the man suffering from leprosy earlier in the chapter, "I do choose." God wants to be in relationship with us so much so that God is willing to forgive us every time we turn away. And even though there is no way we could ever possibly earn such grace, our relationship with God begins with this forgiveness. As we accept our unworthiness and God's grace and see a future with Christ. So what is forgiveness not? Forgiveness is not instant healing or reconciliation. Like I said, it is a starting point, not a finish line. When Jesus forgives the paralyzed man, he does not immediately stand up and walk out of the house. The forgiveness Jesus offers is the starting point of his relationship with the paralyzed man, and it is the foundation on which a just future is then realized. To be in relationship with Christ is to be liberated from sin. Jesus' forgiveness initiates the relationship by which the paralyzed man is liberated. Stand up, take your bed, and go to your home. About a week ago, Brant John, the brother of the late Botham John, stood in a courtroom facing the woman who murdered his brother. In a moment that has captivated many of us who have seen it, he said these words, "If you are truly sorry, I know I can speak for myself, I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you." And Brant went on to say, "I want the best for you, because I know that's exactly what Botham would want you to do. The best would be give yourself to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that Botham would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug? Please." Brant's act of forgiveness does not undo what Amber Geiger did. Just as Jeremiah prophesies to the exiles, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf," the past cannot be undone, nor the hurt obliterated from the memory of the traumatized. Forgiveness does not undo the harm or the hurt or the trauma of what came before forgiveness was offered. It does not eliminate or remove our responsibility to seek justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly. In response to Brant's actions, theologian Karen Carlo said this, "Forgiveness without repentance is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer, quoting Adam Clayton Powell, called cheap grace. It lets us believe we are off the hook for our evil, without demanding any real change on our part. Forgiveness is not immediate healing or reconciliation. It is the starting point to the possibility of those things occurring in the future. And when we see forgiveness, when we feel it, when we know it in front of our eyes, we claim Christ for ourselves, because it is Christ who offers that forgiveness. So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, stand up, take your bed, and go to your home. Amazement seized all of them, the gospel continues, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." For the people who were in that courtroom with Brandt, what occurred there was certainly strange. It's not something we see every day. And here in our own corner of the world, Yasin of Yasin's Falafel House drove to work this past Sunday, only to find the front window of his restaurant had been shattered by a rock. And though we would have all understood if he decided to go on the local news and vent his anger toward the would-be burglar, instead he shared this note, which he posted on the door of his restaurant. "If you are hungry or need emergency money, just wait till we are open, because our food is fresh made in the mornings and our register is empty when we are closed. We are more than happy to help when we are open. All we need is love and falafel." Forgiveness is a start to a future of meaningful relationship with God and with each other. It is an invitation offered through grace, one which we could never earn. But when we believe it, when we believe that Jesus forgives us our sins, we are liberated from the future our sin dictates, and are made capable of offering the love and forgiveness of Christ to others as we speak authentically about how Christ has been in our lives. If we believe that Christ can forgive us our sins, we are capable of stranger and stranger things, like reconciling with our enemies, loving the stranger or the widow or the orphan or the immigrant or the poor or the oppressed. We are capable and made capable of living into the promise of the future God wants for us in the moment God forgives us. The paralyzed man walks again, this time maybe a little more humbly, perhaps seeking justice and loving mercy. So friends, I say to you this morning, believe. Believe, 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 believe. Know that Christ loves you and wants what is best for you. Christ wants to be in relationship with you, so that you may model the love and forgiveness you are shown through Jesus. God has not abandoned you to sin and death. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. That, my friends, is